Now this is the last class of Jonah for this semester. And so I'm kind of wanting to wrap it up in relationship to the main theme. It was so far and will yet be amazing of the things that the book of Jonah brings about, shares with us through the Holy Spirit, being able to identify what God has, the treasures, if you will, that God has within this book. But there is a main theme. And some of you remember that main theme, but we'll speak to that for a little bit, in a little bit. But up to this point, there's several things that we've seen. We've seen Jonah running from God. And we've seen the lowliness of Jonah inside the whale, right? You know, we see that. And then we saw his message when he got to Nineveh. We saw his message being outdone by a greater than Jonah. Anybody know what I'm talking about when I say that one? That's the king of Nineveh. And the king's message outdid Jonah's message as far as what the Lord would have wanted, and with the end result that the king was looked upon as a greater than Jonah. And then reading ahead, and we kind of already touched some of the verses, but reading ahead, we know that the same issues, can y'all say it with me? The same issues crop up again, okay? Just like at the beginning, the same things that the Lord is trying to deal with. And I can't remember exactly, but I think that pretty much this next class, when it starts on Jonah, first of all, I mean, we're getting close to the end of the book, so that should be the last semester on it. I think that it primarily stays with this primary theme that we're going to just bring up here in a minute about this class. You see that in Jonah chapter 4 and Jonah's response. So you know this response, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying? Now this is how he's talking. This is how he prays to God, okay? You know, I'm praying, leave me alone. It sounds to me like you're kind of blaming God for your lack at this stage. Was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. So we have his own testimony that he's got the same issues that are going on, and he's having to reface them, and he doesn't like it, and he doesn't like, you know, God bringing it back up again when he's not ready. And anybody know what that's like? Some of you are going, well, forget God. You bring it up, Randy, all the time. But anyway, that he's, you know, he's back in that spirit. And the experience that he had that was like Christ, that Jesus himself said that Jonah was like him in this thing of 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale. That he was in there and he went through all those experiences, and you know the prayers he cried and everything. In a sense, with everything that he prayed, there was the thought that oh, he's going to get it. He's going to get this and be over it. And this is going to, this is going to do it. Thank you, Lord, for the whale, you know. But, you know, it still lingers. The whale didn't change that. And in one sense, we might even ask at this juncture, why didn't the whale change this? Why didn't the God-chosen whale do this? Why didn't the experience that was so akin to what Jesus went through at the cross and death and into hell and all of that, why does it still linger? And the way that Jonah's wordings are to me, it's almost if he's saying to God, you didn't fix this. I mean, you've got the words there. If you wonder, I'm pretty sure this is almost a accusation against God. Why didn't you fix this? Because he's saying, because here I am again. The same thing that I said to you at the beginning is going on now. And so, but why didn't he? And why didn't the whale do it? And why didn't God fix this? Well, bleeding into other times that I share, I will do so again, and that is, I believe that it's an area of leaven driven by pride and mastered by pro-self. Leaven. Now, some of you that are on Zoom, you may not have been here Sunday, but I did communion, and Jim's here, and he wasn't here, but they kicked me out of the church, brother. It was pretty sad. But anyway, I shared on leaven. Yes, you have it.
It should be on the Life and Spirit website.
All right. It should be on the Life and the Spirit website, and it's entitled Bob and Leaven Bread. What did you?
Yeah, you got it.
What was
it? Communion on Leaven Bread.
Communion on Unleavened Bread. It's on the home page right where when you get on there. Well, after we talk here, you may not want to read it. But do you have something else? Or are you just... No, could you hold up that pencil one more time? Could you bring it up here right now? I want to see it. What? Oh, my God. Oh, my Lord. Okay, so this is a flower, and it's got a little frou-frou feather around it, and it's so nice. But the main thing is the writing ability of this pen is so much affected by the beauty at the top. Thank you for allowing us to enjoy this. It does. It looked like a little Easter chicken from back. That's why I had you come up here. I really couldn't tell it was a flower. I didn't know what I was going to find. All right. Well, I was just saying that it feels to me like that Jonah is saying, you didn't fix it. You didn't change me. You didn't do this. And then that I feel like that this is an area of leaven that is that it's really based on pride and that it's being mastered by pro-self. We all know pride. We all know the teaching or some preacher somewhere that's taught on pride. But when you call it pride that's mastered by pro-self, it should be a clue that these kind only come out with, you know what I'm saying, like what Jesus said. They only come out with this or that. But not, apparently not with a whale. Not with being swallowed by a whale. While everything sounded good and looked good inside of that whale, he came right back to his original place. And the other reason why it didn't, it didn't work. Can I say it like that? The reason why it didn't work. Well, one reason is because we're looking in the wrong place. We're looking in the wrong place. We're looking for God to do something when he's looking to you to do something. This is one of those times. This is one of those times. And, I think of the, the parable of the woman cleaning her house and she's trying to find the lost coin. And while it doesn't say that in that parable, it would be true that if, let's say, if this room represented the house that she's looking for it in, and when she lost it, it rolled up over here underneath some of these plants that are back there, but she spends all of her time over on this side of the house searching and looking high and low and everything else and going, well, Lord, are you holding this back from me? But we're not looking in the right place. We're not looking to the woman to look to the right place, which is her to clean her house. Yeah, that's what it is. And in that same sense, is it not true that the whole thing of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, that you are supposed to clean the house and find all of the leaven and get it out? Now, I've said that before, and I say things, and they are from the Lord, meant for certain people. And I am telling you that many times you may miss the arrows of the Lord because you just are listening to a sermon instead of having ears to hear, let him hear. She's cleaning in the parable of the woman who lost the coin. She's trying to find something valuable in the midst of a whole bunch of other stuff. She's trying to find something, and let's just say something valuable in relationship to God. So she's cleaning her house trying to find that coin. And again, if she's looking in the wrong place, that's not going to get it. But more importantly, the key is that she is supposed to clean her house till she finds that valuable thing. That valuable thing. And in that case, it's a coin. In the case of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the person is supposed to clean their own house, if you will, and they're not sweeping like in the parable of the lost coin. They're not scrubbing anything. They are seeking, and see, like with the lost coin, she was seeking something valuable, and let's say something valuable of the Lord, because Jesus is the one who told this parable, so, something valuable of the Lord. But in the case of unleavened bread, you are supposed to clean or look for leaven in your house. Examples of pride that are mastered by pro-self. You're supposed to do that. And, again, I said this and I meant it. What I said was that they don't call the high priest and have him go into their house and go looking for it. Okay, well, let me sharpen that a little bit. They don't call the pastor to go do that. Well, let's even get sharper. They don't call me to come dig out and find all the hidden places that you know where they are better than I do. You know where they are. And to be asking questions about what, you know, should I do this or that, knowing full well that, you know, if I say no because pro-self might be a thing, you haven't learned a lesson. If I say yes, that means, oh boy, I can do this in pro-self then. I mean, the obstacles within that are terrible because we're still trying to get somebody else to clean us up. And we go, well, you know, I mean, if Jim said that I can go do so and so, well, Jim didn't say you could go do it in a certain spirit. That's us. If he says, yes, you can do it, then you need to search your house and see if there's any leaven in that question or in that pursuit that you want permission for, and see if there's anything in you working in there. Because Jim isn't going to do that, and I'm not going to do that. Even if I know that there is, God says you're the one that needs to go in there and find it. That's why it wasn't working with Jonah. And it was still there when it was over and done with. God did do. Look how much God did. It was a big old whale. Oh my God. You know, he prepared all this stuff, you know, and then sent storm and all that kind of stuff. But there's leaven or there's pro self in us that nobody knows how seditious your version of it is. You know what I mean? Nobody knows how, you know, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, sure, go ahead and do that, you know, with a nice, sweet, kind heart or just trying to bless you or release the Lord in a certain way. But, you know, I'm not supposed to open the door and go, ah, and shut it and go, no, you can't. You're supposed to do that. You're supposed to. You're supposed to stand with the Lord. You're supposed to want the Lord in this way greater than the thing that you want to do. Still glad you came tonight. You know, that's what it should be. That's the way we should live when it comes to this stuff. There's other stuff. Yes, yes, yes. You know, call the elders and let them put oil on your head and pray and the prayer of faith. Okay, well, let's stick with that then. But over here, let's stick with you clean your house. You want something worth something? Be like the woman who's going to clean everything until she finds that precious coin. If you want to get rid of something, don't assume that somebody's allowing you to do that. So, oh yeah, go ahead and do that. Don't assume that means you can go with pro self. I fully intended to, and he's given me permission. So, all right. So we have the picture of Jonah, and it's the picture of the cross. But, you know, and this is just a fact, there are so many angles to the cross. I remember long years ago, and Lord help me, I hope I know more from that time. But long time ago, I kept seeing aspects of the cross, this and then this and this. And I just started making a list. And I, you know, and because I just wanted to see, and then I kept that list with me in my notepad so that when I saw another one, I would put it down. I'm sure y'all do stuff like that too. You know, anyway, so I put it, and I'm going, and I had this huge, it basically filled up the whole notepad front page of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and I just went, Whoa, when we say it's Christ and Him crucified, when we say the cross, we usually go, well, just one little area. But I mean, it covers a lot. It covers a lot. Well, Jonah has its specific primary area that it's trying to deal with. So I'm just going to read this, but this is partially what I read to you early on in Jonah. Some of it is. The picture of the cross that Jonah depicts is not just Jesus' death for sins. Amen. Okay. But that of bearing the reproach of the cross as described in Hebrews 13:13, which is, let us go forth, therefore, unto him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. Now, even the wording of that, I mean, I think that we have put ourselves in such a position that, you know, God has to do everything for us to get it right, or God and his appointees, whatever. But this says, let us go. It's saying it right here. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without outside the camp, bearing his reproach. So the command isn't, well, you know, get somebody that will go with you. it does say let us, but I mean, it's trying to press the fact that, and this is Jonah now, trying to press the fact that if you're going to go through reproach, you need to choose that. I remember I was years ago. I mean, it was when I was young. So, I mean, this is way back in ancient Rome. And I'll even use his name because I'm not using it in vain. But J.W. was the guy that I, you know, would hear the word from mostly. And I loved the message of the cross. But J.W. would just be so intimidating to people and so whatever. He had different attributes to him that would like make people kind of go, I don't know if I want to sit under this guy. And I remember in myself feeling at times like, I'm embarrassed to be here. I invited all these people to hear him, and, you know, they're going, well, I don't think I like this guy, you know. And went through kind of some stuff, you know, about being ashamed of maybe the message sometimes, maybe the person, maybe, you know, the church. And the Lord having to deal with me, the Lord having to bring this up so that I could see what it was. Well, this is the kind of stuff we're talking about here. This is the kind of stuff. Let us go. Let us go forth. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. And that reproach can come in a lot of different ways. You know, I mean, Sarah was out there in East Jesus, you know, for years, and she would go to the church there, and every once in a while they'd let her share, and I'm sure they kind of went, at times, I don't know if we're going to do that again. You know, but, you know, if somebody had first invited her to that church and then she did that, they might be going, I'm ashamed. I mean, this is embarrassing to me. It would have been better if we just all danced and praised the Lord. But, you know, talking about death and all this, and this isn't going to be very popular, right? All right. So the book of Jonah, in this light, it is a story of our struggle. And this is one of the sentences that I presented to you early on. It is a story of our struggle with willingness to be conformed to Christ in terms of shame and humiliation. See, I want to be conformed to Christ in the Lamb. So I like that. I like serving others. So speak to me the message of the Lamb. Well, maybe we don't really realize that wasn't popular then, and it's not popular now. You know, the Lamb, but this is really not popular in terms of shame and humiliation. That's what Jonah was running from. That's what he was embarrassed over. So I want to go over some scriptures that I was just looking at this afternoon in the book of Acts. And you can turn there if you'd like to with me. It's in Acts chapter 8. And verse 25. That was for you, Celia. 25. Acts. All right, 8, verse 25. So it's talking about the followers of Jesus. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem, and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Okay? So what we're seeing here is an opportunity to be ashamed, an opportunity to, not be, I don't want to preach to the Samaritans. You remember the Samaritans, right? And you remember that, I mean, even the woman at the well, she was a Samaritan. And you remember her? She tried to warn Jesus, you know, what are you doing? You know, what are you doing speaking with us? Aren't you going to get in trouble for this? It was kind of the deal because, you know, we all know that Jews have no relationships with Samaritans because, you know, we're outcasts and all this kind of stuff. And Jesus is, he just went right on, you know what I mean? You got to love it. Well, that's what these guys are doing. They come and they preach the word of the Lord and they return to Jerusalem. But they preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. All right, so this is early Christianity. And you better believe that there was a shame and sort of a humiliation of being hanging out with the Samaritans. I'm trying to think of that example that happened where Paul was at and Peter came to visit and with his group and then the way Peter was, certain of those Jews started separating from the Gentiles that Paul and Barnabas had been ministering to and sitting over here and going, when we go back home they're gonna jump on us for hanging out with Gentiles. So they separated themselves, and that's when Paul jumps up, and this story is primarily in the book of Galatians, and he just lays into them. And in fact, if I'm not mistaken, that's where Galatians 2:20 came from, ultimately, as he went on into the story. You know, if Jesus was humiliated, if Jesus should have been ashamed of us, and should have been ashamed to be connected with us, but he wasn't, and he did it. Well, these guys are doing it too. And see, I think what happened here was they really caught on to Christ in this way. But don't you believe that they kind of had to clean their house first and get rid of some of that leaven of pride, mastered by pro-self? So, then let's read on. I think it's the next verse, verse 26. Yeah. So what we're going to see here is again, people putting themselves, because of the Lord, putting themselves in a place of willingness to be humiliated or shamed when they could have avoided it and been thought more highly of. Okay? Which is all very contrary to Jonah. Okay, just make sure y'all got that point. All right, verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza. Okay, which is a desert. So several things here. One is an angel's telling him to do this, so, you know, it's probably of God. Number two, he's telling him to go, and in that case, because we were just reading, they were in Jerusalem, the verse before, and in that area, he's going all the way down to Gaza, which is what was the home of the Philistines. It was a desert. If you had asked Jonah to go there, he would have gone, no, man, I want it this way, you know. I'm going to look bad if I go there, you know. Jonah, I can see God walking up in the middle of this huge, huge audience of Ninevites, and God walking up, Jesus walks up, grabs his arm and says, congratulations, you are the one who brought all of these heathen into being Jews, if you will, you understand? And all the Jews are going, what? What are you doing, man? Nobody's doing that. So, verse 27, and he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia. Okay, so this guy is of a higher class and everything about him, but he's from Ethiopia, so he's black. And some people don't like black people. Okay? I do. Some of you have heard my history, so I have plenty of proofs that I do. But, you know, I mean, growing up in Oak Cliff, you better. You better learn how to, but still, much more than that, our years as missionaries in Jamaica but that's a thing, and probably a thing back then, if it is today, and so behold a man of Ethiopia, and a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Verse 28, was returning, sitting in his chariot, and he read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, ooh, we just got a boost. Did anybody catch it?
Yes.
What was it? Angel was the guy. So going on, and then the Spirit goes, okay, this is home run territory now. You know, this guy's reading the Word of God. Okay. So, Spirit said unto him, go near. Oh, I don't know. Join yourself. That's the next phrase. Join yourself. Well, see, I can say this, I can preach this, but until you're in that situation where you feel the shame and the humiliation and da 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 because of your preconceived ideas and because of what you think is right and wrong and what you think is holy and what you think is, you know, acceptable, you're not gonna. This sermon is it's nothing. It'll not have no effect. You'll be like Jonah. It'll come up again. Amen. Come up again. And Philip ran. What? See, those guys were trained early on. They got it. They got it. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him, that you're sitting right there with this guy, and you're going to be sharing the Jewish Bible, because they didn't have the New Testament yet. You're going to be, and Jews are going to be coming around and going, well, what's going on over there in that car?
Right.
You know what I mean? And he said, how can I accept some man guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began in the same scriptures and preached unto him Jesus. I told you it's a home run. You know, home run. Man, the Spirit, when the Spirit, you know, God said, angel, go down there and tell Philip so-and-so. But then when the situation started coming together, the Holy Spirit goes, I got to get in now on this one. Okay, so that was Isaiah 53, right? Isaiah 53. Those of you who've been around me any length of time know that this particular verse here, verse 32 and 33, are really what touches my heart. The place of the scripture which you read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so he opened not his mouth. And here's the main one: in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who's going to declare? Okay, so this isn't in him being humble. This is humiliation. Do you understand the difference? One of them is, okay, you know, I'll take the lower seat at the feast. Okay, you're at a feast. It shouldn't be that hard on you. but I'm being humble in my humility, you know, because they put me at the lower seat. My judgment has been taken away. No. Jesus went through major humiliation. And because he did, his justice was taken away. Because he wouldn't say anything. He wouldn't call on anybody. He wouldn't do anything. All of that, folks, all of that, you do that. Okay, you walk into the ghetto, and you walk in there, and some guy comes up and says, hey, sucker, what you doing here? And you don't say anything. He says, hey, pushes you like this. You go, you know, you don't say anything. They're going to gather around, and because you're not saying anything, you're going to get it worse than you would have had you opened your mouth and said, you know, anything, any justification, any da-da-da-da, anything. But Jesus, in that place of humiliation, is with the Father. And we're supposed to be. We're supposed to have the leaven out of us. We're supposed to find it. We're supposed to act on it. We will stand before God for if it's there when we stand before God. We will. Pro-self? I mean, honestly, what direction do you think you're going to go with that? Right or left? See, we've got this Christian thought. We got all this all figured out. So we're saved because we go to church and we do that. And you know, and then when you get before Jesus, he's just checking you out to see if you were a lamb or not. Well, I was a lamb in this case, but not this one. But in this case, not this one. Then you weren't a lamb. And I know you're saying, well, nobody's perfect. Well, that's the Lamb that lives within us. It's possible. You should be shooting for it just because pro-self is such a horrible thing to the kingdom of God and to the heart of God. You know, should be thinking about him, not you. Anyway, all right. So I wrote this out based on Isaiah 53. The first sentence is the first sentence actually written there. Who hath believed our report? You know, who hath believed our report? So here's what I wrote. Who would believe our side of the story? We have no beauty that others would want to come join us. We are despised and rejected by honorable men. They ran in the other direction and hid when they saw us. There was no esteem on any level to be given. We looked bad because we showed honor to our enemies. Yet the circumstances make us to be despised as if clearly not of God. We are taking blows that belong to others, but we will tell no one who is to blame. Okay. So, y'all got that, right? Or do I need, it's pretty simple. Do I need to read that again? Who hath believed our report? Who would believe our side of the story? We have no beauty that others would want to join with us. We are despised and rejected by honorable men. They ran in another direction and hid when they saw us. There was no esteem on any level to be given. We looked bad because we showed honor to our enemies. Yet the circumstances make us to be despised as if clearly not of God. We are taking blows that belong to others, but we will tell no one who is really to blame. All right, so wrap up my last couple of sayings here. This is probably best just to be read too. The emphasis here, so please listen carefully. The emphasis here in what I just read is not about you being a lamb and how badly you've been treated. If that's what you thought about, then you need to join the pro-self class. Instead, the point was that Jonah hated the shame connected to ministry, that instead of advancing his ministry, it made him look worse than what he was. He was wanting to run from it, or after the whale, have God modify the ministry so that he wouldn't look quite so bad to the public. So he wouldn't look so bad to the public, to other prophets, to extended family or friends. But God will not change the way he had set the ministry. So, to the very end, God will still deal with Jonah. Okay, so this had nothing to do with our minds going off on, well, you know, that's me. I've been mistreated. People have thought this. People have never given me ever. That's not what that was about. That's not what Isaiah 53 is about. But that's not what it's about. I'll read that part again. The emphasis here is not about you being a lamb and how badly you've been treated. Can somebody say amen? Yeah. So if you've got that out of there, shame on you. Because there's a lot of leaven in you going to that place. Because you found your way there. I want to invite you to the other class, which you mostly are already there. Instead, the point is, there's leaven in us when we hate being despised, or when we hate humiliation, when we're not willing to bear that. Now, and I'm probably going to quit pretty quickly here, but the next semester, we are going to really get into this. Really get into it. God is going to bring it to bear in ways that you could never imagine. Okay? I mean, because you look at what's left and you go, well, okay, there's a gourd. there's a gourd, there's a worm, there's a sun. How's this going to have any bearing on hard-headed Jonah? And remember, I said that we may be surprised in the end that Jonah really is exactly what God was wanting. But it'll be a surprise. It's a surprise ending. We're going to find out the dove. All right, so Jonah hated the shame connected to ministry instead of it advancing his ministry. It made him look worse than what he was. He was wanting to run from it, or after the whale, have God modify the ministry so that he wouldn't look quite so bad to the public or to other prophets or extended families or friends. And absolutely true, and God will not change the way he had set the ministry up. He won't. He can't. It's his son. There has to be a willingness to start cleaning out the leaven. A willingness. And guess what? You're going to have to find it. You're going to have to look. And when you find it, and it'll pop up, trust me. You go, well, where was that at all this time? You know? Then you're going to have to deal with it. Get it out of the house. Yeah. Amen. All right. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Lord, we look to you for everything, but there are places in the Word of God that are telling us we are to come boldly to the throne. We are to come outside the camp. We are to dig out, find and get it out of the leaven that is in our house. And you have equipped us to be able to do that if we be so inclined. But Father, I know that based on the past, there are some who will just eventually, this will pass and they'll be happy it's over with. The theme, I know there are some that are going to look up after you do an amazing thing in their life to bring the cross to bear in their lives like the whale. And when they get out, they'll want to keep that feeling, but this is stronger. This leaven is stronger, and they're going to just keep it. It's still going to be an issue. Father, I pray that everyone here would say, Lord, may that not be me, but they have to say that. I pray stuff, Father, and people say, amen, yes, Lord, but Lord, they have to make that peace in their own heart that this is what they really want. So, I shift the monkey off of your back and off of mine and Jim's and anyone else's, and I put it back where it belongs when it comes to these areas. And I thank you. I thank you that you're even bringing up all this stuff. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.